We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And for a third,
this hits not just locally.
This is
has tentacles, doesn't it?
This is everywhere. Yeah. This is absolutely gut-wrenching, heartbreaking. Best city in the world. I can't say it enough. I'm absolutely in shock, and possibly we have lost our hockey team. That was a gift. The NHL gave us a gift here in Arizona.
Yeah.
And we possibly just lost.
How'd we do? You all right?
We did good. I'm ready. I'm on the brink of tears. I can tell you.
You got a lather going in
22
you're
years,
ready.
Buddy.
I know that.
You a lot longer.
Scenes out of a 5,000 seat NHL arena.
Yeah.
Not an NHL arena, a college hockey arena. Arizona Coyotes play their last home game.
Did you watch the end of it?
I've seen a lot of the stuff. I've seen they've got a broadcaster who's been with them for 20 years. Whose name is it? Chris Taylor?
I do not know.
That's off memory. I've got all of his stuff right here. I watched him speak for 5 minutes on what it's like to be leaving. And it's he told his life story. And I don't say that in any sort of negative way. Like how he worked at a rock station. And they just got a call like, hey, we got a hockey team. You want to be a part of it? His answer was yes. And Todd Walsh, I don't know why I said Chris Taylor, Todd Walsh. So Todd Walsh, 22 years calling Arizona games and being part of the broadcast and telling stories about everything. So I watched that. I watched the line thanking the equipment manager, people in the stands crying in a 5,000-seat college hockey arena, which is one of those things, Joe. By the way, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It's one of those things where we knew they were going to play in a 5,000-seat college hockey arena.
Yeah.
And very soon after, to get to the team is moving is one of those like, well, that's probably right. That's probably why.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing they've let them play in Mullet Arena in the first place.
Yeah. It is very much normal, though, because now the A's are playing in Sacramento.
Yeah,
and
until they play in Vegas.
Right, and the Chargers played in a 30,000-seat stadium until they moved.
Yep.
So, although that was in Los Angeles, too, I believe. Anyway,
yeah,
you know, you spend any time in a half a stadium, you are on your way. You're going somewhere.
Yeah, so you got to be. I got more choked up than I thought I would watching. There's like a six-minute video of the end of the game and after. And we talked to Luke Lipinski yesterday in the Extra Point Show, who now he talks on the radio there, but has been like a lifelong Coyotes fan. And hearing him talk about it and then seeing fans just like crying in the stands.
Yeah.
Like it's hard for that not to hit you. And I have wanted them to move forever. It's insane to me that it took this long. It could have happened 10 years ago, I feel like, and it wouldn't have been a surprise. But I do understand the point Luke was making to us yesterday, which is it just imagine being a fan for 15 years or 20 years and being told you don't exist and then everybody celebrating when your team gets ripped from your hands.
Yeah.
That's got to suck.
Yeah. It's been bad ownership. It's you know, the Coyotes have been a dumping ground for salary. They haven't been a real team.
Has there ever been a year where you felt comfortable?
No, probably not.
As a Coyotes fan, like, okay, we've got our team. Like, for 15 years, you might have never...
Yeah.
Did we ever get this way with the Bills? Not really, because Pagula bought the team pretty quickly, but...
No,
When Ralph was getting older, right? Like, it was maybe that times 10 every year for 15 years. That I want to empathize with that a little bit.
Sure. The difference, I guess, would be that in Buffalo, the market is definitely small by NFL standards, and making it work as important to the league. The Coyotes are almost the exact opposite. The market is so big that they tried to make it work for the league, and they ultimately didn't. Same with Atlanta. Atlanta's a huge market, and they lost their team to Winnipeg.
Right.
You know, like, good luck. Meanwhile, Winnipeg went to Arizona, and then a team went. Anyway, there's two questions I have that I think are good things to talk about the Coyotes. And we've got lots to get to today, but, you know, whatever. It's a big story. Two questions. Do you want the related to us or what could have gone differently? Which one? Which question do you want?
I'm curious of what could have gone differently.
What if they win the McDavid lottery? They don't move.
They don't move. They don't move.
If they win that lottery, they don't move.
I agree with that.
Right?
I definitely agree with that.
The year of the tank, the group howl, all that.
Yeah.
They got Dylan Strom.
They didn't even get Jack.
You can hate Jack all you want. They got Dylan Strom.
Or I think you know who went after Strom?
Mitch Marner.
Marner, yeah.
Yeah. But even
tough draft.
I'm not here to make the case that Marner or Eichel would have changed the fate.
McDavid
would have done it.
McDavid
would have sold out of a building in three games. Oh, look at this guy. And they would have built a stadium. It all would have happened. If they get McDavid, they just stay.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was in terrible shape when they won Crosby. Pittsburgh was going to move too. All of a sudden, win a couple lotteries, have a couple amazing players, and you are entrenched as a big-time franchise. Pittsburgh's not a huge market. Mm-hmm. That's a team that went through bankruptcy.
Right.
So, if in a market like that, if they had won the McDavid lottery, if they had won the Austin Matthews lottery, they don't move. Imagine if Matthews, a hometown kid, is playing there as one of the best players in the entire league.
Yeah.
But I do think it's McDavid, maybe McDavid only. They win that, they don't move.
Well, it's the business of it, right? They get McDavid. He's a star. They're good, right? They're competitive enough. Are they the Oilers?
Maybe not, but if nothing else, they are entertaining.
But even that would be enough, right? Because they just couldn't fill up the building.
Right.
And how do you make it work in a non-traditional hockey market?
Stars.
Stars, and you've got to win. You've got to win. And to the Coyotes' defense, I guess to the fans' defense, that didn't show up when they were in an NHL-size arena, we know how long it's been for the Sabres, right? The Coyotes have made the playoffs one time since 2012, and it was the COVID year.
Yeah.
So the last time a Coyotes fan was able to go to a playoff game was 11 years ago, but or 12 years ago.
They've also not been a serious franchise, though.
No, right.
That's the thing. They're a financial dumping ground.
Oh, did you see some of the stories about how they didn't pay their hotel bills enough so that teams or hotels around the league had to had them start paying up front because they just didn't trust that they would actually pay their hotel bills.
Yeah.
And they got kicked out of their last arena because they were not paying their – they just didn't pay. Maybe they didn't have the money for it. I don't know. Don't they have revenue sharing in the NHL? Whatever.
They do. The Arizona Coyotes only existed because of
revenue
the other
sharing teams. Right.
Yeah. I mean, there are players in the league that take more money home as an individual than the Coyotes make. Some of their own players would make more money than the Coyotes make.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this in any sort of they deserve it, but their owner does, or their lack of owner, or the NHL and how it's been handled.
Even this owner. I mean, he's been a drama for forever. He can't get an arena deal done. He was in the center of an investigation about workplace misconduct.
Yep.
Not a dude that he's not the one that I'm, feeling any condolences for with the team leaving. It's
not
the fans.
And he's got exclusive rights for 5 years if they want to go back. Might be best off to wait for 5 years.
Which, by the way, if I told a Coyotes fan, you are going to get a team back, would it be that bad? Because you're going to come in as an expansion team, and twice now that's seemingly worked pretty well for teams coming in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe, I know, we could debate Seattle. They made the playoffs, though, and won a round in their first couple years. Vegas has been Vegas, obviously. So the team hasn't been good for 12 years, and it's a reset. You get an expansion if, that's a huge if you get an arena deal. It's possible they never come back.
Right. I think it's very possible they never come back. But if McDavid had been the lottery win for them, I bet they don't move.
I agree.
Bet they are still there.
They'd have an arena that'd be called the house that Connor built.
Yep. In a gate-driven league, you could say they would win, maybe they'd be good, maybe not. Maybe even if they're not. When I think of McDavid, I think of Caitlin Clark. This is a transcendent player figure that, this person's on your team? You just sold out your building. Because people just want to go see this player every single night. 36 out of 40 nationally televised games for Caitlin Clark because, like, oh, all right, the ratings of the WNBA draft up like never before. Just transcendent star shows up, it fixes almost everything, even bad owners. And McDavid, I think, would have done that for Arizona.
He also would have been. Do you know they're all-time leading scoreless?
Ooh.
All-time leading scorers at the end of Arizona Coyotes history. Who was there? We'll do a little instant trivia.
Bobby Hull.
Not Bobby.
Doesn't count?
Not Bobby Hull. Coyotes only.
Oh, his name's in the rafters.
Instant trivia. Farmer's dog. Human-grade dog food delivered right to your door.
Coyotes trivia. All-time leading scorers.
Number one is number one by more than double.
Shane Doan.
Shane Doan. 955 points. Number two is on the team right now. Think of that, by the way.
Clayton Keller.
Clayton Keller is second in Coyotes history. Third is a defenseman.
Teppo Nieminen.
Nope. Good guess, though. He's 10th.
Third is a defenseman. Oliver Ekman Larson.
Correct. He is third. Okay, number four. Hockey Hall of Famer.
I am stunning myself with what I know about the Coyotes here.
Really well. I mean, the group Howell days,
the Nieminen,
right? You gotta know.
The Nieminen guess was a joke, so I'm 3 for 3.
If we were doing top 10, you would be 3 for 3. Is this guy in the Hall of Fame? Don't think so.
Fourth scorer of all time?
Fourth scorer of all time.
Forward or defense?
Forward. I once passed him on a mountain in Arizona. One year I was visiting my mom. We went for a hike on this mountain, and we're going up the path. And there, look, there's blank walking right past
us. He was hiking, huh?
He was hiking. He's not in the... Is he not in the Hall of Fame? It's someone I would have thought was in the Hall of Fame, but apparently he is not.
Jeremy Roenick.
Jeremy Roenick. Should he not be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay. He's fourth all time. Fifth. I mean, I don't even know what hint I could give you to get to it. Eastern European dude. Pretty good score for a while.
Hold on. I'm going to get there. And then I'm going to go home.
Just walk off.
I want to say Martin somebody.
No. No.
Sounds like it's not that far off.
No, you're not that far off. If the Martin... Is that Martin on here? There is... Okay, the Martin you're thinking of is 7th.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Even though we're not at the last name yet.
I love this. Did you hear he got like 7 of the top scorers? He said some guy named Martin and it was
Martin.
Right.
Yeah. this gentleman scored 20 goals for the Coyotes 4 times. Between 2007 and 2014. He would have been a one of those guys that every year for the last like 4 or 5 years of his career, he was like available at the deadline for probably like a second round pick or a third round pick.
That's a great hint.
I don't know. I don't,
give me an initials.
Skittable. RV.
Rostislav.
No. You're thinking of Rusty Klesla. That's not this guy.
RV.
Klesla is the guy that refused to report to Buffalo, decided to go back to Europe instead when Murray traded for him. RV, I don't know if you'll get it.
Richie Vance.
No. Radim Vrbata.
I was not going to get
Radim Vrbata. I thought you weren't. You want to try the Martin?
Yeah. Martin something? Martin Straka.
No.
He's a Rangers guy. Martin what?
His last name sounds basically like a kid's fairy tale.
Shrek.
No.
What sounds like a
this
kid's fairy tale?
Actually, you know what? This character might have been in Shrek. It's possible.
Martin Donkey.
No. Martin Hansel.
Martin Fiona.
Martin Hansel.
Oh, Martin Hansel. Okay.
Was Hansel and Gretel in Shrek? It's possible, right?
Yeah, who knows?
And the number 6 right in the middle we skipped is definitely a Hall of Famer with multiple kids in the NHL.
Keith Tkachuk.
Keith Yandle, and you mentioned Teppo Nieminen.
Yes, Teppo.
Who was the captain for a long time. And I think, no, not number retired. Maybe in their Hall of Fame or something. Shane Doan was the only number retired because there was a video last night of the Coyotes giving him the banner.
I saw
because
that.
There's nowhere to hang it
anymore.
Well,
it had apparently been left back in Gila Arena because it never made it to Mullet.
Oh, it wasn't even in Mullet?
I saw a video of them giving it to him because it was in the old arena.
So it hadn't even been hanging.
I don't think so.
I also saw a thing that it was a fan that found the banner. The banner had been thrown out. The fan found it and gave it back to him.
Yeah. Come on, that can't be right.
I think that's right.
What? Not thrown out.
Left there.
The fan will
left somewhere. Yeah. Right.
What are they going to do with that arena?
Right, they don't want it.
Who knows?
That is incredible. Okay, so I'm typing in on Google, Shane Doan. You know how you get like the recommended searches that come up?
Yeah.
I'm typing in Shane Doan ban, and it comes a banner dumpster.
There you go. His banner was in a dumpster?
Maybe. Yeah, the Arizona Coyotes left Shane Doan's retirement banner in a dumpster in Gila Arena.
Sweet.
It's just the Coyotes did that.
Do you want my second question? I told you I had two questions that came to mind.
What was the other
first
one?
First is, would they have moved if McDavid was the guy they won in the lottery? The second one is this, and maybe this is a better one for us to talk about. 803-0550. Would you go to your team's last game? Would you want to be there? Watching last night, all those people crying, would you want to go? The Bills are leaving. The Sabres are leaving. I mean, this is not happening, but it's official. They're going. Tonight's the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going? Do you want to be there? Or do you want to just not even, you know? It might depend on the circumstances.
Yeah.
You might be so mad. Think about the St. Louis Rams, right? They left. It's funny because in the sports world, I don't know, Joe, like thinking of your life growing up and how often teams moved.
For me, it's not. I mean,
it's not that unusual.
No, I think it is because all of that happened right before. Like, when did the Whalers move? Like
96.
96. So I don't remember that. When did the Nordiques leave? 96. That's, also,
sure.
Okay. When did the Tennessee Titans leave the NFL?
When did the Houston Oilers leave?
Like the late 90s?
99.
Okay. Then when did the
Browns. 99.
So like late 90s? Like
96 for the Browns maybe because they came back in 99?
Yeah. So if I'm like 5 years older, I'd probably have grown up with it because it happened, mid to late 90s. I just rattled off four times at least that it happened. Maybe there's another one.
Yeah, that's probably right. What I was thinking of is my timeline before you is it was not normal. Expansion came. Teams did not move a lot, and sure, the Houston Oilers, the Cleveland Browns, it didn't seem to happen all that much, and now, the list of teams that have moved, it's all over the place.
There was like a 20-year period where
teams didn't really move.
Did anybody? And now, right, it's a lot of it's Vegas, right? A couple of them are Vegas because that's a new market that's been opened up to the sports world because of legalized gambling.
Okay, here you go. I've got the full list, and this kind of drives home the point. In 1985, the Kansas City Kings moved to Sacramento.
Okay.
And the NBA went 16 years before they moved a team. It was 2001, Vancouver to Memphis. In the NFL, right? Yeah, are we finding a sweet spot?
Yeah.
In football. Yeah, the Colts move in 1984, the Cardinals in 88, the Rams. I don't want to count the Rams because they move back and forth 100 times from L.A. to Oakland to L.A.
Right.
But I guess that one counts. In the NHL, no movement of a team between 1982 and 1993.
Who was 82?
82 was the Rockies moving to New Jersey as the Devils.
Okay.
But yeah, it seemed like it was not something that happened regularly. And I guess in hockey, this is the first one in 13 years that's a move.
It's since Winnipeg?
Yeah, since Atlanta moved to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And the previous one before that was Hartford moving to Atlanta. So in hockey, we've had two since 1997.
Right. So not that much.
Not that much. In football, there have been four since 1997. In baseball, the NBA, it's been all over the place. I mean, Charlotte to New Orleans, New Orleans to Oklahoma City, Seattle to Oklahoma City. Just all over the place with these teams that moved around.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, New Orleans was temporary to Oklahoma City because of a hurricane. So you've seen movement. Would you want to go to your team's last game? Bye-bye.
I mean, it'd be really hard.
Maybe you'll get a team back in 5 years. Maybe not. So you don't really know if this is goodbye. Sometimes when a team leaves, you know they're coming back. The Browns were pretty obvious, pretty clear they were going to come back.
Yeah.
In Houston, you would think when the Oilers left, you would have a team back. You know it's going to happen in some cases. Don't you feel like if Buffalo lost a team, that's not coming back? The Braves, right? If you could go back in
difference.
Time,
there's a total difference.
Yeah.
If you are a Coyotes fan, I think I could convince myself that, okay, listen, they're not going to ignore the sixth biggest market in the United States forever. As long as Bettman is commissioner, that dude is going to try to get a team back here.
Yeah, I mean, look how hard the NFL worked on getting Los Angeles.
Right.
They ripped the team out of St. Louis. They ripped the team out of San Diego.
Yeah.
And threw two teams in Los Angeles.
But, yeah, it would be different because you would just, if you're in a market that's smaller, I think you would just have to accept or feel like it's just, that's it. You can't, if the circumstances present itself that they're leaving, they're not ever coming back. So, man, it would be so hard, right? Like, I think it would be really difficult to be there that night. I would feel like I would owe it to myself if I were a fan for my entire life of a team that I've got to be there.
Yeah,
I've got to be there for the last game.
I'd probably just go for a walk. What do I want to do? Be in the arena as the Sabres play some of their all-time greatest moments that I can remember and then say goodbye and walk out? Or to just, like, go for a hike? Yeah. It might be better for my mental health to not be in that arena. Twitter poll up on the WGR account. If your team was relocating, would you go to the final game? No is winning so far. Would not go. Would you want to go? You know? There's only 18,000 or 19,000 seats, so it's not exactly the easiest thing to do. 803-0550. You got a call early on here. Springville's Doug. Doug's calling us. Hey, Doug, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Doug.
Hey, I was in Cleveland when Browns left, and, yeah, we went to the last game. But that was more of just a party, not really to celebrate them staying or, you know, history or anything. But I jumped in the car this morning, and I'm listening to your talking about Arizona, and I kind of looked out a couple of years from now. I mean, you could put Buffalo, just substitute Buffalo in every time you said Arizona in that conversation. It just seems that this franchise is, I don't know, doomed.
I'll not lie, I've let my mind go to comparisons like that before. I think though there are massive differences that of course make this a very different situation. One is there's an arena here, even though it's, you know,
it's getting updated,
it's not in great shape,
needs a new roof, and it's getting a new roof.
The other thing that I would want to say to this, there is a big reason why the Coyotes are leaving: zero support from local government, or like just kicked out of Glendale. The Scottsdale mayor wants nothing to do with them. Just there is no support whatsoever on that front. And I don't know. I've got pretty strong faith that Buffalo in general understands the value of the Sabres. And if there were ever a time where ownership was in flux, which is also a huge difference right now, I think, if ownership were in flux and the arena was in flux, that I would have more confidence that, you know, they'd give the NHL whatever they need, where the Coyotes and Arizona was like, we're not giving you jack squat. Pay your bills, basically. Yep.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I mean, it's worth mentioning. Not a huge market, not a huge revenue-driving team, I would imagine, by NHL standards. But the reality is, I always think about this, back when the last lockout hit, there were only about 4 to 5 teams that actually make money for the league.
Right.
And new television deals have made that probably different and a little healthier. You know, the era of live sports, contracts, blowing everything else out of the water because it's the only thing that people watch on live TV anymore. So that helps. It comes down to ownership. It comes down to a couple things. And you'd like to believe the NHL would value this market enough, but the dollar tends to win. You know, depends on how greedy an owner is. If a guy wants to move, he moves.
They had a chance, didn't they? How 20 years ago? Like, how hard did Bettman work to keep them here?
Hard.
Right.
Hard.
So
that's 20 years ago.
Right.
And are there now more markets that are interested? And back then, the expansion fee was not, you know, $650 million.
Right.
There's a reason the league expands now more regularly.
But they want expansion. They don't want relocation.
They
right?
want expansion. That's
they
right.
They want expansion.
And in the case of Salt Lake, they are still going to they got a workaround. They bought the team from him,
yeah,
and charged a relocation fee that owners will still split. So
the Salt Lake owner,
yeah. So yeah. NHL owners are still getting a check from this,
right? Which is insane.
Which tends to be the business model in the NHL right now, which is what if we just charge, you know, $600 million every couple of years, and here NHL owner, here's a check for $20 million because somebody else joined our club.
That's another thing that makes me think the Coyotes have, well, I guess, you know, the guy could be delusional. The owner's leaving like $300 million on the table by not just selling direct to Salt Lake City to get these exclusive rights to bring a team back. He has expansion rights. If he just said, to hell with it, I don't need a team, he would just sell direct to the Salt Lake owner and he would get $300 million more dollars.
Can he sell the expansion rights? It's like a PSL.
Can he
go to the expansion rights marketplace? List
the Coyotes.
Anyway, 803-0550. Thanks, Doug, for the phone call.
I can't believe the Shane Doan story. I'm watching the video of a fan giving him the banner. Just a guy in a Coyotes hat and jersey. How does he have the banner?
I remember his jersey retirement ceremony because one time I might have fallen asleep and I ended up watching 40 minutes of his retirement ceremony. It was
40 minutes?
It was unbelievably long.
40 minutes?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, those things aren't like super short, but
It was a lot. I mean, think about RJ Knight or
how long
when guys are out on the ice giving speeches, having conversations. Yeah, they did something like that.
Oh my. Okay, wait. How long do you think the RJ ceremony was though? Because I got the time on the Shane Doan ceremony.
Was it like an hour?
It was an hour and 31 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that.
What?
I found it. I just
that's
was
amazing.
Flipping through one night, and here I what's going on here? An hour and a half on Shane Doan.
Yeah.
803-0550. Sabres locker cleanout. We heard from players yesterday. There's some yesterday, some today that we're going to speak. So we heard from some players yesterday. A familiar refrain was said over and over. And you could view it one of two ways, I suppose. As good or, hey, where's that been? Why did nobody say anything about this? If you missed it, we'll explain. We'll get to that. We're going to talk with Paul Hamilton at 8:30. We're a week out from the draft. So plenty of draft chatter. I'm on a new receiver now, you know, an old receiver that we've been on before. There have been mock drafts. The mock trades are nuts. Anyway, lots going on. So join us, 803-0550. And would you go? Would you go to your team's final ever game if it came down to it? Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Yeah, I was a borderline NHLer. I was fortunate enough to get picked up by waivers by the Arizona Coyotes. I thought maybe I was going to be there a month or two and got to spend five of the best years of my life living out my dream in the National Hockey League. And while there, met so many incredible people, whether it was players on the team like Shane Doan, Keith Yandle, guys on the staff like Stan Wilson, who was our trainer, the coaching staff, even the people who worked at the rink, the ushers, so many amazing people. I know it's hard to talk about all this and summarize it all, but I love you guys in Coyotes land. I'm so grateful for you. You gave me some of the best years of my life.
Paul Bissonnette, last night on the broadcast, Coyotes, group howl, everybody. Let it out.
Group howl.
Yep.
They did the job for us that year.
They did. It was exciting. It was thrilling.
Mark Arcabello.
Shout out Sam Gagne.
Sam Gagne. Did he score the goal here?
Yeah, he scored the overtime winner here.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Scenes. Really emotional. Listen, we were all, not all of us, we flirted with Arizona Coyote fandom for a solid year.
Sure.
I had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Remember that night down at 716, people showing up in makeshift Coyotes jerseys?
Yeah.
We had a love affair. We had a spring fling with them.
Mm-hmm. Was Derek Roy on that team?
Wow, no.
No?
No.
Why do I have tank memories of Derek Roy?
He never played for them. He played for Dallas.
Hold on.
He never played for the Coyotes.
Okay, you know what I'm doing? He played that year for Edmonton.
Okay.
And we were also Oilers fans.
Did Tyler Ennis play for Edmonton that year too?
That might be later.
Okay.
He was still in the Sabres. He was their
that's right.
Wasn't he their number one center?
Yeah, that's right.
Or Gergensen's was their number one center.
There were two tank years, so it's tough to remember.
Gergensen's, Bolson, Ennis. They were my nightmare because they were the only NHL line that they actually had.
Yeah. 803-0550 if you want to join us asking a few questions about the Coyotes' move. Meanwhile, the Sabres cleaned out their lockers yesterday and spoke with the media. And, man, I thought Chauvin Bulldog had a good observation, made a good point on this. Like, if Granato is listening to everything everybody's saying, it's almost like, boy, you guys really thought I didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
They like him as a person, but I've got Kevin Adams at his presser talking about, we crave accountability and structure, and there wasn't a high enough standard set. And then yesterday, hear all the players talking about, Dellian say they don't practice hard enough.
Yeah.
We don't practice hard enough. There's got to be more of a commitment from guys in the room. Tage Thompson's talking about how guys have to be fearing that they might be pulled out of the lineup because there's not enough urgency. These guys just don't play, basically that they don't have accountability or structure. And it's one of two things. The players are simply echoing what the GM said, or they all really like Granato as a person, as a coach, as a developmental, but they maybe do not think he was the right coach for them.
Maybe. But also, Adams spoke to them before they went in and met with the media.
That's right.
They could just be echoing what their GM said.
They could.
If they were to step out of line in any way in that front, like, it just might not be the time to do that, you know? Like, no, actually, I thought everything was fine. Like, I don't think we need to be pushed more. If the GM is sounding that way, both to the public and then to you, and then the next thing you do is say, no, I actually don't think we need that, like, that's, you're probably off the team.
Ask me, and I'll do it without throwing Don Granato under the bus.
Do you guys think there's a middle ground? There's a way to do it? Without,
absolutely. Yeah. For every one of these guys to elaborate on it and say things that Kevin Adams did not say. Kevin Adams did not say, guys need to be in the press box if they're not performing. That's Tage calling out his teammates as not being held accountable or not having any sort of structure in place so that if things aren't going well enough, that they are held accountable.
Yeah.
So to me, I felt like the players went much further. Dahlin, we have to practice harder. Oh, okay. Dahlin's the guy that was defending Granato, and maybe, again, like maybe people out there have a boss, and you think they're a good boss, and they're a nice person, but you think at the end of the day, someone else could push us a little more. Someone could be here to hold us more accountable, to bring the best out of us. It's too easy.
Well, did you hear how Alex Tuch talked about Gerard Gallant?
He raved about him.
Well, I was not expecting that. Gallant is a guy that, like, always he is quicker than Tortorella at overstaying his welcome, right? Like, that dude got left on the tarmac by the Panthers like 10 games after they were like won a division, and the Rangers fired him after they made the playoffs, like in a playoff, like right after a playoff series. And there's talk on Gallant talking about how he would come down and yell in his ear, but he would put him right back out there 5 seconds later because he knew I'd get the message. And like talking about Gallant, like, held me accountable as a rookie, as a young guy. Wouldn't be the player I am today without him. And that dude is as far in that direction as anybody that could actually hire. He's further in that direction than Lindy is. He's further in that direction than Brind'Amour is, or maybe even Berube. Like, Gallant's got a reputation of that, and there's one of your leaders of the team who, again, has experience with him that's like, oh, yeah, this is what we need.
Yeah.
Like, this guy has exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, Dahlin also, did you hear him on expectations? We weren't prepared and ready for what it meant. Listen, that might be, you know, leadership from the player level too, but that somewhat falls on the coach, doesn't it? Like, the mental part of it. Like, we weren't prepared and ready for what it meant to have expectations. That there's a little bit of a grow-up sentiment here,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure. I mean, Granato said repeatedly he thought the pressure was getting to them. And
which Adams pushed back against.
That's right.
Hard.
Adams said that's nonsense.
Yeah.
And here are the players saying we weren't ready for the pressure. Okay. Kevin in Rochester. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I have a relocation team story regarding going to the last game. I'm originally from San Francisco, and I was living there in the early 90s when the Giants were supposedly moving to Tampa Bay. Hmm. They had a proposed sale and agreed to, but the Major League Baseball hadn't voted on it yet. And they had a game. It was very strange. And the last game of the 92 season at home, where it wasn't clear if it was the final game ever. And I refused to believe that they would move, that the owners would allow the team to abandon the San Francisco market for Tampa. And so I didn't go. A friend of mine asked me if I was going. I said, no way. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I was in denial maybe, but
You're right.
That's what ended up happening. It didn't get approved, and I would not have gone even if it had been a final sale and if the move had been approved. I would have been even more outraged by the notion that this team could be pulled from San Francisco and go to a place like Tampa.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. That's funny. Like, you know, in the era of way back then, reporting about how far along something might go, and it's a long time ago. I was going to say, like, you said San Francisco. I'm thinking, who moved out of San Francisco? But I guess, right, there was a chat about Tampa, who ultimately did get a team. I mean, Buffalo was ready to get a team when Montreal was falling apart, right? Like, it was.
Yeah.
Which team was.
No, I think it was Montreal, right?
It was that, or maybe it was expansion in the 90s. Somebody will remember in, like, 1990. The Bison Stadium was built with the ability to expand it to be a Major League Stadium.
Yeah.
Didn't Bob Richick write a check, like, I'm ready for it for a baseball team? Which, if Buffalo got that team, we would have lost that team, right? By now? Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to believe. I mean, it's pretty cold here in baseball months. Imagine having a home
colder
game.
Colder than, what, Minnesota?
Or Boston?
Or?
Minnesota's, well, they had a dome for
they
a while.
They have a dome. No.
They had one for a while, and they still do, yeah.
You might
Minnesota's open air now.
Would they have been forced into a dome at this point?
Who knows?
That would have been the thing, right? Get a dome or we're leaving.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, the Sabres coaching search is underway. We are 1 week from the NFL draft, and lots to get to here on a Thursday morning. Rained a lot last night. Saw some thunder and lightning. Today... Yeah. Doesn't look like it's going to rain that much today. Just overcast and in the 50s. That's good. It's going to be about this temperature for a week.
Okay. This is very springy.
Yeah.
This temperature.
Cloudy,
this weather.
Springy.
Yeah.
Paul at 8:30. We have a Blues guest at 9 to talk to us about Craig Berube.
Yeah. Lou Korak will join us, NHL.com.
Yeah. Chat about what kind of coaching candidate he might be. So plenty to get to. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. More from Locker Cleanout from the Sabres as we roll along. Interesting to hear Alex Tuch endorse the idea of Lindy Ruff or Gerard Gallant, and all the players basically say they want to be coached harder. Maybe not all the players, but a lot of them seem to be that way. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on WGR.
As a group, we have to play better. First of all, we have to look ourselves in the mirror. Players weren't good enough. We didn't help Donnie at all, honestly. So now we need a good summer. When we get to training camp, we need a really good camp, and we have to be pushed. We have a young group who are hungry, and we need to get pushed hard, and we're ready for it.
That's Rasmus Dahlin. We need to get pushed hard. Okay.
That's the sentiment.
There's a point in here to be made about leadership. And don't mistake this for leadership is unimportant. But I say this about culture a lot, and I'll say it about leadership too. Everybody claims to have it good. Until you realize you don't, and then you're like, oh yeah, we gotta get better leadership. We have a good culture. We have a good group. There's a lot of leaders in that room. And then what did the entire season give us? It gave us an underperforming team that ends the season saying, we need to be pushed harder. We need to hold ourselves more accountable.
Mm.
Was Kyle Loposo doing the whole time? Was he a good captain? Was he not a good captain? I mean, he was...
Like, what was he brought back for?
Well, he was Don Granato's right-hand man right away. I'm not saying this in a critical way. Like, Granato said it again and again, and I feel like he probably did have a lot of value. But as it got longer and longer, whether it's the little spat with fans or whatever it might be, who are the leaders?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also something to be said for, throughout the season, Dylan Cousins said a lot of these things routinely. We're soft. He said, we're soft.
That was early.
Yeah.
That was like the first month.
There were little clues throughout the season that the Sabres wanted to be a different kind of team and play a different kind of hockey, and they never ultimately did. And then the GM comes out and says the pressure stuff is BS, and the players, the main players in the franchise, come out and say we need to be coached harder. Okay. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Gerard Gallant,
how they react to it, right?
Exactly.
Because you can say until you're blue in the face, you want to be pushed, and you could even go into the year with the attitude of, okay, we're ready for this, and then, I don't know, midway through the year, how's it going? How's it going being coached in a different style than you've been coached for years? Hopefully positively. Tuck's done it. Like, some of these guys have done it at the NHL level. We'll see, right? Like, I hope that this is not a problem and a talking point forever here. Like, new leadership is going to be the players that are already in there, right? Like, Dahlin talking yesterday, like, that he's ready for it. Like, okay, I hope so. Because the last thing I want to be sitting here talking about is, do they have a leadership problem in 2 years? Because Dahlin's not a good enough captain for some reason. Or Tuck isn't as forceful a leader as we think he is. Or just whatever. Like, and maybe Okposo and Gergensen's, maybe Zemgus will be back, honestly. But maybe those guys being cleared out of the locker room will allow them to grow into that. Right? Like, take charge of it a little bit. Where I could see how before, if you've got a powerful voice or an adult leader voice in the locker room already, that you might feel like, you know, if you want things to change, you might not have the confidence to do it because you're not number one in the pecking order when it comes to that stuff. Okposo is.
Yeah. Leadership changes for both franchises. I mean, the Bills aren't, you know, changing their coach or their quarterback, but that picture of all the team captains and they're all gone. It's Josh and whoever the new team captains are.
Right.
Diggs gone, Davis gone, Poyer. Micah Hyde posted yesterday his future's still uncertain. He's still going to do the Micah Hyde charity softball game. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind. 803-0550 on the Sabres. We'll play some more sound from Locker Cleanout Day. The endorsement of Gerard Gallant, as Alex Tuck was asked directly about that and asked about Lindy Ruff, and some coaching ideas. Sabres on the table for you if you want it. Also, 1 week from the draft, NFL.com has a trade-up for the Chiefs to number 9. And I have a fun question about how scared you are of the Bills trading up versus the Chiefs trading up. So we will, of course, toss that around with you. 803-0550 on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.